from discussions about Medicaid expansion to planning for the new insurance exchanges to Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan's impending shift in status to Obamacare, the state's health care system is about to undergo some major changes. But just what all of this means for both insurers and consumers remains pretty unclear here at the beginning of March. So here to help us shed a little light on what's in store for Michigan's health care system is Lonnie Scott, who's a spokesperson for the consumer advocacy group Know Your Care, and Rick Murdoch is director of the Michigan Association of Health Plans. And we want to thank both of you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
It seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, because that's quite likely here when we're talking about health care, but it seems to me there are three focal points to our discussion this morning. One is the state's Blue Cross Blue Shield reform. The second would be the Affordable Care Act, which is beginning to have an impact. And the other is the sequester's impact on health care. Can we look at the big forces as those three forces, Rick Murdoch?
I believe we can. We can just start to scratch the surface because this is such a transformational period in our industry, and the sequestration just makes it even more complex.
Yeah. Lonnie, is that an appropriate way to look at this discussion?
It's a fair analysis, and I agree with Richard. We'll just be able to scratch the surface.
Okay, we'll try to go slowly here, so hopefully our listeners will be better informed at the end of the discussion than they are right now. Let's start with the Blue Cross Blue Shield change in status. Rick Murdoch, what does that mean for Michiganians?
Well, it changes the whole way that Blue Cross Blue Shield will be regulated in the state of Michigan. They have previously, as of today, and still are, regulated under a statute that's Public Act 350. They're not under the insurance code, and what this intends to do, this is legislation, just so everyone's aware, passed the House last week, and will be sent to the Senate for their concurrence, which we assume they'll do, and then on to the governor for his approval later this month. And this will transform Blue Cross from a nonprofit corporation to a nonprofit mutual and regulate them under the insurance code. Their position and the intent of the governor was to create a level playing field so all insurance companies are regulated in the same way, the same format, same filings. And along the way, some of the previous preferential treatment that Blue Cross Blue Shield had is now going to be eliminated, including their taxation. They'll now be taxed as other companies. And if you will, the price for this to the state is a annual contribution from Blue Cross to a new nonprofit health and wellness fund that will support various health initiatives over the next 16 to 18 years.
Okay. And we expect the current legislation to pass and to be signed into law by the governor.
It did pass the House last week. The Senate action will be simply to concur with the House action. We believe that'll occur. As you recall, this was legislation that was passed last December, and the governor vetoed it due to some language dealing with the inclusion of some abortion language. As it came back through the legislature early this year, that language was removed. And right now we believe it'll be concurred by the Senate and the governor will approve it.
Lonnie Scott, any comments regarding the impact of Blue Cross Blue Shield reform on the average Michiganian?
I, to be completely honest, haven't followed the legislation as closely as Richard has, but I believe that they did change the legislation to bring it to a better place than it was originally as passed. So I believe that just like all of these pieces of legislation, you're going to see a huge impact on consumers, and it's definitely something that's going to affect Michigan families.
Rick Murdoch.
Yeah, just a couple points, and then time will tell whether the legislation has any overall impact. There are two issues, key issues from our point of view that were included in the legislation that I think people were following. That one was a restriction and then an outright ban on the use of most favored nation clauses. This is an issue that currently Blue Cross is in litigation with the U.S. Department of Justice for some anti-competitive issues. We'll see how that goes with this legislation. And the other was language that will address the issue of cost shifting, and that is their history of of not paying their fair share of the underfunding of Medicaid and Medicare, and that cost is shifted by providers then to other payers. We're looking for a level playing field. Our association represents other insurance carriers.
Right.
So we're looking for a level playing field across the board. So we believe this legislation addresses those competitive issues. And then we always have to remember, they have 70% of the market. So this legislation hopefully will address that competitiveness for Michigan.
Is the Blue Cross Blue Shield piece part of the health care exchange? Those are related in that it will become a part of a health care. That'll be an option on the health care exchange, correct?
Well, one of the reasons for the legislation was to permit, if you will, enable Blue Cross to position themselves to be part of the insurance exchange, much like any other insurance company. Those decisions have to be made over the next literally 60 days in terms of qualifying, meeting the criteria for being on the insurance exchange in Michigan. So having the legislation enacted enables them to do it in probably an easier manner than they could have otherwise.
The sequester has really thrown an awful lot of confusion into the mix here as well. Let's move on to that federal piece and update, if we can, the impact of the sequester. Last week, the Federal Health and Human Services Department said that on last Friday, the agency would be sending out information on what exactly is likely to be cut. Lonnie Scott here as of Monday morning. Is that any clearer?
I don't believe it's any clearer as far as the specifics. We do know the amount that's going to be cut, and the White House has put out some numbers on where they expect these programs, the hits that they expect these programs to take based on the overall number of cuts. So we know that the Health and Human Services Department specifically will take about a $15.5 billion cut, with two-thirds of that amount coming from the Medicare program, which services the disabled and the elderly.
Right.
So we know that that's a pretty large proportion. But there are a number of other cuts that are coming as a part of the sequester. Things that will be affected are, especially for places like here, like MSU, are things like research in the healthcare area. So vaccine development, looking at cures for things like influenza or different types of vaccines like that. Alzheimer's disease, cancer, those different types of things that are researched, what we're going to see is about a $1.6 billion cut from the National Institute for Health, which does all of this types of research. So we know that this is going to have a huge impact on a wide variety of areas within healthcare. And actually, the sequester hits healthcare as a whole. There is nothing that takes a bigger hit than healthcare except for defense
military
spending.
And is Michigan particularly vulnerable in any way due to the Medicare cuts, or is this equally shared pain?
It's equally shared pain, but Michigan certainly takes a number of hits as far as healthcare is concerned, along with Medicare. Public health and all of those things are going to impact the state. I don't know that Michigan takes any bigger of a hit than any other state, but every state is going to take a very large hit from the sequester.
Rick, Lonnie's studied the impact of the sequester. He follows it a little bit more closely than you do, but anything to say about the sequester and its impact?
Well, I think it just adds to some of the rationale and discussion that we're going to have on Medicaid expansion. You know, we'd like to see that everything sort of, you hold everything constant and move these programs forward, but we have so many balls in the air.
Yes.
That's going on. And when we have a current budget issue in Michigan, the Governor Snyder's executive budget made a recommendation for Medicaid expansion. One of the reasons that a number of organizations are supporting it, including our organization, and I'd say the hospitals as well, is the cuts or reductions in reimbursement and special financing that are taking place are ready and planned under ACA. And then to add to that, the cuts that we're now going to see with sequestration in Medicare just adds fuel to the need to, if you will, to make up some of the difference with Medicaid expansion.
Well, it was my impression that the medical community in general was behind the Affordable Care Act. Are they still, where do they stand here with regard to the Medicare cuts?
I can't speak for the hospital industry, but I'm very confident that they are very concerned about the sequestration cuts. They saw and they knew the cuts coming under ACA, But that was also part of the formula that you make up that difference with providing increased coverage through Medicaid expansion and through the coverage of folks in the insurance exchange. You're bringing people who are uninsured into coverage, and that provides coverage for hospital expenses as well as other expenses. And the thinking is, if you do that, then the federal government needs to reimburse less with some of the special disproportionate share hospital payments and other payments. So, you know, it was a balancing act, and then to cut on top of that just adds a little bit of anxiety, I think, for our hospital funds.
I would imagine. It sounds like a massive collision of bureaucracies. It sounds messy. How will Michigan citizens be made aware of new laws, new regulations, new services? Lonnie?
Well, I think that's an interesting point, and I think the problem is, and that's where we largely failed with the Affordable Care Act, is that in every other major piece of legislation, when you talked about things like Medicare Part D and all of those other major things, there was money put into the budget for those bills that allowed for each congressional member to go back to their district and do an education program. And with the ACA, that didn't happen. So education has been largely by private groups, and that's why it's hard to get accurate information. So the group that I've been working with, Know Your Care, for the past year and a half, have been going around and talking to different constituencies about the things that are contained in the ACA. And unfortunately, it's going to be left up to people like us, organizations that are going to go out and have these forums. One of the big ones here in the state of Michigan as well is the Michigan Consumers for Healthcare. They're a broad coalition that has also been doing some education. But it's really going to rely on those types of people, folks like myself and Richard coming on radio programs like this to really provide details.
Rick, is your organization involved in just disseminating important information?
We're trying to do as much as we can. Once we have more information, I think part of this is timing. There's a lot of information we don't know, so it's very difficult to bring consumers awareness of what they need to have in play before October 1st.
A lot of that's the sequestration, correct? I mean, we're still waiting for an awful lot of information from the feds.
Well, just on sequestration itself, I'm talking literally about some of the other issues that we already have to deal with, and that's the Affordable Care Act, that's dealing with the insurance exchange, and then to throw Medicaid expansion on top of that. We have a lot of issues that are going to be effective October 1st of this year. October 1st. And so from the health insurance industry perspective, we've got a lot in front of us. And we know very well from polling that we've done that consumers don't have a very good understanding of the various nuances on the insurance exchange. Mm-hmm. And the legislature, if you will, failed to take action last year to have a state-administered insurance exchange.
Yes.
And this year, we're going through some additional legislation at least to help support the partnership model. That was the default. If the state didn't have a state-administered program, then
we work with the feds.
Then you work with the feds, and you can either default completely to the federal government or maintain some responsibility. Michigan chose to maintain responsibility for plan management, which we believe is good. They'll make decisions about who's on the exchange, who's not, and some of the other regulation.
Okay.
And then they'll do consumer outreach. But they can't do consumer outreach until some of this other information is
gotcha. Planned.
So they will be the point in state government for a lot of the information. But they'll depend on groups like Lonnie's and ours and other consumer groups to get the word out.
Lonnie Scott is a spokesperson for the consumer advocacy group Know Your Care. Rick Murdoch, who you were just listening to, is the director of the Michigan Association of Health Plans. Thank you both for joining me today, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.